Hey, Dre.
What's up, man?
Hair's looking laid.
Is it? It's looking quite fluffy to me. It's, yeah, this is week two of the blowout.
Okay.
She's hanging in there, but it's a lot of hair.
Yeah.
It's a lot for me. It's been a long time.
Did your daughter go back to college from spring break?
Yes, she did.
Good time? Y'all had a good time?
We had a good time.
Yeah. Good.
But it's... Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay.
Her car died. We have to say goodbye to her car.
Yeah.
Which is literally as old as her.
Why do I? No, how do I, say goodbye?
Too high, too high.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
How do I say goodbye?
Just don't sing.
Okay.
Just pour a little something.
Okay.
Nah, but it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, she went back to a tornado watch. So it was just dramatic.
Okay.
But everybody's fine. No issues.
My kids were on alternating spring break. So,
of course.
Kid one came home, goes back, kid two comes.
Mm.
But one of my kids goes to school in New York City and I live in New Jersey. I'm like, I probably wouldn't even come home. I would just be in the city hanging out. He's 21.
This is year three?
Yeah.
And we came home. Okay.
Like, I respect it, but like, I wouldn't have done that.
Right. Right.
I'd have been partying.
Like, well, my kid one is an adult, but is substitute teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But all of his roommates are seniors in college.
Mm-hmm.
So their his roommate's college spring break is not aligning with his work spring break.
Okay.
He's going with the college spring break and taking a trip, apparently. Okay. He's on his way to Aruba soon. I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So... we must be doing okay.
Yeah, good. So I'll tell you about my week. I was driving my kid to school the other day.
Okay.
And something happened to me.
Don't give me the single dad.
No.
I don't know your struggles. Yeah. Don't give me that.
Not that.
That's not where we're going.
I'm just
okay.
driving my kid to school.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just being a responsible dad.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like... close to the cutoff of getting him to school, like, but I'm on my way. Like, everything's
gonna
cool.
Make it.
I made him his breakfast. Like, I, like, you know, everything is laid
you
out.
You made him his breakfast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this kid wants grits and eggs and bacon every morning. So
okay.
Tea.
I'm gonna need you to bring some of that to the office sometime. Yeah. But okay.
So I'm driving. I'm hustling. I'm in the fast lane, and I ran out of gas.
Like close to E.
No.
But like literally ran out of gas.
Like cars like boop, 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 boop. Like
I have never experienced that in my entire life.
So in the 90s, I ran out of gas twice. I had a car with the gas gauge broken and it was either full or empty and I had to count the miles. I had to use the odometer, odometer.
Okay.
So yeah, not since the 90s have I run out of gas. I ran out of gas.
Wow.
And what I realized is not that, like, yeah, gas prices are high. And it's not like I didn't have the money. I just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is, like, if you're not paying attention, this war in Iran,
Iran,
like, this war is going to, like...
budget busters.
Yeah, just like it busted me, not paying attention to my gas gauge.
Right.
Had me literally on the side of the road calling AAA.
Yeah.
Like, this war in Iran is going to bust some budgets for sure. So today...
already seeing it.
Yeah, we'll talk about how to be more mindful, how to make sure... because a lot of clients are reaching out. And, and what's interesting, the portfolios are all holding up pretty well. Like, our clients all have diversified portfolios. And, like, you know, some folks are down a little, some are up a little, some are flat.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, nobody's had, like, a major blow up, thank God, so far. Knock on wood grain.
Yep.
But... in your personal life, there might be a major blow up. And there's certainly things that you can do today to make sure that this war doesn't wage war on your pockets.
Especially if you're busy and you're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the sneaky things.
Yeah.
I was sneaky telling, leaks.
I was talking this week about filling up tanks and whatnot. And, you know, the other day it was $77 to fill it up. And it's up a little bit.
Let me tell you something. Speaking of the daughter on spring break, she took my Easy Pass, put it in her car.
Okay.
Her car is no more.
Okay.
So I did some business travel this week. Ended up driving myself to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the New Jersey Turnpike, no Easy Pass. I didn't even remember. Gosh. I didn't even remember how to like get a ticket and pay. I was just like, is like a person giving too. Me a ticket or it's is there? I thought it was going to be a machine, but there was actually a person there. Yeah. And I was like, oh.
Oh, you remembered to actually go there.
I remembered. I had to remember to get in the non-Easy Pass lane.
Yeah.
But on the way back, I needed gas. I had like a quarter of a tank and I'm like, you know what? I should just go ahead and get gas.
Yeah.
So I decide instead of taking the turnpike and using my cash to pay tolls, mm-hmm. I'm just going to go down a different way. A toll-free road.
Okay.
And I'm going to get gas.
Okay.
So I go to this one gas station that's known for same price, cash or credit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go and I'm like, same price, cash or credit? He says, no. I was like, then I'll take $20.91. My car moved like an eighth of a tank of gas.
Off $20?
Off $20.
Yeah.
Cash.
And you use cash.
I normally fill up on $50 to $60.
You were trying to save money. It was more.
I just didn't. Yeah. I only could get to $20. I knew I had other cash, but I could only get to $20. So I'm like, nah, I'm not paying tolls.
Blame the Strait of Hormuz.
Exactly. But anyway, it's just the fact that nothing really happened. I didn't really do anything by getting $20 for the gas.
Yeah. Yeah. Prices are high for sure. So let's get into these stats. The average price for gasoline in America is up $1.07 since the beginning of the year. So compared to where we started the year at, we were at $2.81. Now we're up to $3.88.
Mm-hmm.
Now what's interesting, during the State of the Union,
That's regular.
Yeah, that's regular. That's not 93. It's not mid-grade. Yeah. During the State of the Union, you know, President Trump was talking about how low gas prices were under his watch.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, we were at $2.30, and now we're at $3.88.
And then he said, I knew it was going to go up for a little while.
Yeah. Well, that's a 69% increase,
mm-hmm.
like in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's frightening. I mean, the stock market's been down this week.
Oh, yes.
As a result.
Mm-hmm.
And folks are starting to get concerned. Our phones are ringing, you know?
Phones are ringing. Buzzing.
Now, in some states, so, you know, 388 is the average in America. In California, average is 561.
Why is gas so high in California all the time?
So, gas prices are
educate
really,
me.
They're based on three things, right? Mm-hmm. It's the price of oil.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I guess four things. The price of oil, it's the refining, like being able, mm-hmm. like you get it out the ground, then you got to, you know, refine it. Like
yep.
you turn it into
usable product.
Usable product. And there's a bunch of different things that you could turn oil into.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's transportation. How far am I from the source?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, it's taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And so California is real environmentally friendly. They tax their gasoline more than any other or that's most
it.
Other states.
That's it.
And that's it.
Yeah.
A lot of taxes there.
That's why it is.
In other cases, it's proximity. So Hawaii also has really high gas prices, but they're just far away from
oil. From everything.
That's all.
I'd walk everywhere in Hawaii though.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Have you been to Hawaii?
I have not.
Yeah, I've not either.
It's a must visit.
Yeah.
But no time soon.
I would love to go. I just like the more I read up on like how we just colonized this place.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, am I a part of it?
It's still beautiful.
Like am I? Down with it, like.
I mean, it's part of the United States.
Not my fault, but
of America.
Yeah. Other places have low prices, like Oklahoma, $3.24. And then Trump said that there was one gas station in Iowa where gas was going for $1.85.
Because he was there, right?
That's what he said. But at the time, the average price of gas in Iowa was $2.57.
He didn't say anything about the average. He said this one place.
Yeah.
And even if that was true, I mean, it's one place.
Yeah, the funny thing is, so fact checkers did say that, okay, there were three or four places in the state that had that E85 ethanol blend gas.
Oh.
That was less than $2.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't just happened to just be driving by and you saw that.
Correct.
And it was that E85 stuff mixed with ethanol. It was a blend.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody running a sale, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But since
clearance gas.
But since then, gas prices are up like 70%.
Yeah.
So other things we're seeing is that, you know, we talked about oil prices, gasoline prices. Jet fuel is rising also, my friend. And as a result,
of course,
the airlines are raising prices.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is that, like, are you trying to go to the Middle East right now? Like, so a lot of, you know, people are buying less tickets. They're canceling flights.
Right.
Less profitability. You still got to pay those salaries. So mm-hmm. airlines are under pressure right now. So they're jacking prices up. So Spirit Airlines, which is, I know, Andrea's favorite. I know you have the Spirit credit, like the rewards credit card and everything.
Not at all.
Yeah, when I'm on
I can't tell
flight,
you the last time I flew Spirit.
Yeah, I try not to fly Spirit, but like I've flown Spirit. Like sometimes it just fits, you know. I tend
to. Yeah, if I'm going to a regional airport and it's just me and I'm flying one way, like, you know, yeah. The stars kind of have to align.
But here's my thing. When I'm on a Spirit flight, at the end of the flight, they're always like, hey, if you want, we got the Spirit credit card. I'm like, I'm not on this plane on purpose.
Right. I'm
not about to walk around on land with a Spirit credit card. Every time I pull it out, right. I feel embarrassed. Like, right. Nah. We good on that. But Spirit, they've raised their prices by more than double on their lowest price fares.
Hmm.
So more than double at Spirit. And other major airlines like United Airlines and Delta,
mm-hmm.
their prices are rising by 15 to 60% just in the last couple of weeks. So what is leading to all of this, you might ask? Of course, it is the Iran war, Operation Epic Fury, which happened on February 28th. And the biggest outcome from this is the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. And
yes.
We described this
we talked about
a couple
that.
Weeks ago on
yep.
our What is War For
yep.
show. And the fact that it's this little area, it's like in your
armpit.
I hate to say it like that. But,
mm-hmm. you know, don't say the other thing.
I don't even know what the other thing is. But, you know, it's this little area, this little waterway. Because on one
it's
hand,
it's very
got
narrow. If
Iran,
you look at it on a map,
yeah.
it's a very narrow passageway.
Yeah.
I mean, relatively speaking, I'm sure several ships wide can fit through there. But it's kind of narrow.
Mm-hmm. And
just
20%
saying.
Of all the world's oil and natural gas flows
comes
through
that region,
that little area. And it's closed.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny, like this week they started to let some tankers through, but like Iran's like, I'll let our stuff through. Like mm-hmm. they're letting their stuff through. They're letting some Pakistani stuff through. Like they're picking and choosing who they want to let through, but it's basically still closed. Because a lot of the oil that left there was coming from our other Persian Gulf friends, Kuwait, Iraq, UAE, Saudi Arabia, all that oil is closed to the market right now.
Yeah.
So the impact of this closure is that oil went from 70 to 115. Thankfully, today it's back in the 90s. But
okay.
that's a big jump.
The markets did not respond to that.
Yeah. Because, like, you don't know what's going to happen. Like, is it
yeah.
ever going to reopen? Like,
mm-hmm.
are we about to get into a prolonged war? Like, what's the Fed going to do? Like, that's the other thing. Like, the Fed, they
unchanged.
Can't really cut interest rates in an environment where inflation is about to go back up because
that's
of
right.
oil prices. So.
That's right.
So we talked earlier about taxes, and this is going to vary from state to state. But I'll give you the example in our home state of New Jersey. They just added an additional 4.2 cents a gallon tax increase that started in January.
Mm.
And that's optional. That's
I missed that one.
Well, you're paying it.
Yeah.
That's why your $20 didn't get you that far.
It's unbelievable.
I'm sure you remember when gas was like 93 cents.
I do.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying for it either.
And this is one other situation that is really close to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's happening in Cuba. Like,
yes.
Starting in January,
mm-hmm.
the Trump administration just shut Cuba off from the oil market.
Yeah.
Like Venezuela was
literally crippled the country.
Yeah, Venezuela was a big supplier of oil to Cuba. And once we took over Venezuela, we cut off all that oil.
Yep.
And we just did it because we could. And sure, folks will say, well, there's a need for a regime change. There's humanitarian things. But the same stuff they said about Venezuela.
What if we said that here? Okay.
I don't even know.
I'm going to get in trouble. What if American citizens said, we need a regime change. Right? We're just going to go be disruptors.
Yeah.
It's not going to go too well. But
I hear you.
Just saying.
But like, yeah, so a lot of the electric production in Cuba mm-hmm. comes from plants that run on oil. Mm-hmm. Like the majority of it comes from that.
Yeah.
And so when you shut down their access to oil, they can't now get on the internet. They can't keep their homes lit. That means they can't refrigerate food. Like, it means hospitals can't get electricity. Like, this is a huge humanitarian crisis mm-hmm. happening in Cuba right now.
Yep.
10 million people live there. Electric grid's been on and off.
There's, and hardly no one's talking about it because we're talking about the war in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And Epstein files and gas prices and all the other things.
Their access to clean water is impaired. Their access to healthcare and then refrigeration. Like, you're already living on, like, most Cubans are living like at or below the poverty line. And now the little bit of food they have is at risk of being spoiled because the refrigerators don't work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a really, really sad thing. So we've been talking a lot about the Strait of Hormuz, this oil crisis that's happening. And we'll go to break. When we come back, we'll get into that advice of like what you can do to stop it from just ruining your own personal budget, your investment portfolio, the whole nine.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
So we are back.
Let's get into this advice.
Gas prices are still high. So let's first think about summer travel. You going anywhere this summer?
We'll be in the vineyard.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I may not go this year. I don't know.
It's okay.
Yeah.
We didn't go last year.
I may go, may not go. I don't know.
You know.
But you're not flying. You drive.
We'd be driving. And we'll talk later. We might have a room. We might have two rooms in the house that are unaccounted for. I mean, you have to pay though. But, you know. Anyway.
So travel advice. So first, if you're thinking about taking a flight, you may want to go ahead and book that ticket right now.
Interesting.
Because prices are probably just going to go higher. Like, it's not one of those things where they're going to go down.
Probably. They are.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like, you got to have it.
The money.
Like, well, some people are like, I heard this, maybe it was on the radio or something today. I heard it somewhere. I don't know. And it's kind of like, people are saying, yeah, buy all your flights now. It's kind of like, what if I can't?
Oh, there's that thing I need. What's that? Oh, yeah, money.
Right.
But I'm saying if you're planning to go anywhere.
Of course.
And you can afford the trip.
And you can, yeah, of course.
And
I'm just.
You're going regardless. You may as well book it today.
Yeah.
I'm not saying buy a trip for August right now. But I mean, like, I'm planning a couple things in April. Like, I might as well just.
Okay.
Buy it now.
Yeah.
Going to Vegas.
Okay.
Go to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well buy it now.
Yeah.
So the reason why we're saying that.
I hear you. We got at least one track meet that we will probably fly to. So we should probably just get on that.
Yeah. So the reason I'm saying that. So yeah, prices will likely go higher. There's also like the known versus the unknown. Like mm-hmm. I know what it costs right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it could go up to. And if you really need to be at that place, like you'd rather pay what you can budget around right now.
Mm-hmm.
Other suggestions on booking that flight. Book a fare that can be canceled and rebooked, like if
a refundable fare.
Yeah. Like I often like do that little cost benefit. Like, should I pay the extra?
I do the same thing every time.
I just end up paying it. Cause then they also have started taking away my my carry-on bag. Like, I can't fly with just a book bag.
Oh, right. Especially on one airline in particular, the economy is so basic.
It's super
basic. It doesn't include anything.
Can't go to the bathroom.
Right. I do not like...
Yeah.
I will dehydrate myself to not use the bathroom on the plane.
My strategy, when I get on the plane, I go straight to the bathroom. And then I go sit down.
No, no. The strategy should be... Go right before you get on the plane so you don't have to go on the plane.
Yeah,
and then you go as soon as you get off.
The mechanics are very different for men versus women. It's very easy for me to just go in there and, okay? Okay.
Touche.
So, yeah, these discount airlines, though, I was on a flight and I'm like, ma'am, I can't figure out how to get my, I'm on either Spirit or Frontier, one of these discount flights. And I'm like, I can't figure out how to get my seat to recline. This heifer gonna tell me your seat is pre-reclined. I said, what? Y'all cheap jokers. The seat, just tell me the seat doesn't recline. Don't lie and say it's pre-reclined.
Pre-reclined.
Yeah, this lady told me
there's
my
no
seat.
Such thing. That's...
Mama, I'm hungry. Oh, you pre-ate already. You should be good. As they told me, so...
They're camel seats. They store up reclination energy.
Yeah. There's apps that are, like, you can like...
We can talk about Spirit. I mess with Frontier, though. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah. Okay. Well, get the Frontier.
It's a lot of a la carte stuff, but, you know, Frontier is... I haven't had any issues except one time.
Okay.
But anyway.
So that's flights. Book it now. Book a fare that could be canceled and rebooked. There's a bunch of apps and websites where you can put in your ticket and it'll track the price and let you know when it's time to rebook or call and, you know, complain or whatever you got to do to get to get the refund.
Mm-hmm.
Other advice, think about a cruise. Now, this is just economics. I'm not telling you you should cruise, but like we've done some research and the cruise
prices. They're not powered by.
They are, but like so far the cruise lines have borne the brunt of these higher fuel costs. Now, some organizations, like, they hedge. They buy the oil in advance or the fuel in advance or whatever. But, like...
And especially if you don't have to fly to the port.
Yeah.
Like, if you're, you know, for us, maybe Bayonne or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Consider a
cruise.
That
makes sense.
I took a cruise.
Do you like cruises? Yeah, same.
I mean, here's what I like about cruises. So I did a cruise, like, a year or two ago, and my kids couldn't get away from me. Like, they had to... Like, stay on the ship. Like, it forces family time. Like, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what about at the destination, like, the different stops?
We separate a little bit, but, like...
They're older now.
No, it's just, like, forces them to, like, kind of engage. Like, your room is small. Like, you ain't about to sit in that room all day.
Also true.
So, we kicked it. And your phone doesn't work.
Meals.
So, I'm not on the phone. I'm not doing work. Yeah.
You didn't buy the phone plan?
No.
It's expensive.
I was like, I need a break.
I've taken a total of 2 cruises in my life.
Yeah, I've taken...
One was last year.
I've probably taken 3.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. My parents are big. They used to be big cruisers.
Mm.
Other advice, let's get into driving. So driving accounts for 45% of the world's oil consumption. So nearly half of the oil that is used on this earth is for gasoline and for driving and for diesel. So some ideas for saving money driving.
I guess our EV owners aren't really tripping right now.
That's one.
Yeah.
That's one for sure. Buy an EV. Here's another one. Brand Nubian said, slow down. You don't know that song?
I do. But I was trying to,
baby, your hips are getting big. Yeah.
Yeah, slow down. But there's a little thing right after they say slow down. I was trying to remember that, the little hook. Your little something, slow down.
I found the original song of that the other day. That's a good song.
Oh, the song that is sampled?
Yeah, that is sampled. So slow down. The ideal driving speed to maximize your fuel efficiency is between 40 and 60 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, 55 is the optimum speed for your car. And if you go up to 65, you're burning 8% more gas. And by the time you make it to 80, 28% more gas.
Word.
I'll tell you, if you drive in New Jersey, the other day I was doing 90 and I got passed by 3 cars.
That's real. That's very, very real.
So slow down. Like, it can save you some money. Now, I will tell you, don't drive in the left lane. Like, don't drive in front of me driving 60 miles an hour on the highway in a 65. But
tailgating.
Yeah. I will say, like, let's say you're using your MapQuest or your Waze, your Apple Maps. And, you know, it's like, do you want to go the fast way or the short way? Like, mm-hmm. maybe pick the short way if that's going to mean that you're driving at a slower pace.
Take the scenic route.
Yeah.
But if you're driving for longer, does it net out? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's that speed.
Don't answer it. It's just me thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's a chance to take the slower mile per hour road versus mm-hmm. the faster one,
mm-hmm.
that might be longer. So, you know, go for the one where you can drive 50, 60 miles. Just don't drive in front of me because I have a heavy foot. Hopefully the police are not listening.
Interesting.
Other ideas, keep it steady. So you want to avoid rapid acceleration, hard braking, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's wear and tear on your car anyway, but mm-hmm. I ain't saying nothing.
Other car things is don't idle your car. So if you're going to be stopped for more than a minute, just turn the car off. Have you noticed, though, that the police, and I'm not coming for them, but they'll go into like a store and they'll leave their cars just running.
Mm.
Or they'll just be sitting looking at their computers, I'm sure doing important work, but the cars are just running. Like, idling burns a lot of gas.
Interesting.
And it's not like they need heat or air conditioning all the time. Like, sometimes it's just, I don't know.
Maybe they just got to be ready. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
they got to be ready to go. There's no time to start the car. I don't know.
I'm not going to judge.
I'll ask my family member police officer.
The funny thing is, like, in Jersey, we have laws against idling. And literally, you can't. There's laws against that.
Huh.
I often see police idling all over the place. Whatever. Stop idling. Okay, other things, maintain your car. You talked earlier about all that wear and tear that you put from braking and speeding up. But maintaining your car tires, so just keeping your tires properly inflated, rotating them and all that, that can save you like 3% to 4% on gas and keep you safer.
Okay.
Next, we've got the gas station rewards programs. Do you do those?
I don't.
Yeah. I'm not real big on the rewards.
I just don't.
I use one. I use Quick Checks. That's it.
Yeah, but those rewards are for the store.
I know, but when you get gas, they'll let you use your rewards. I mean, I don't know how.
They told me the rewards are all for spending inside the store.
Yeah, but I still saved. So I.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Go for it. The other day,
I told the guy my rewards and he gave me the balance. He was like, you could buy everything in the store. I'm like, huh? So I get a bunch of free.
Coffee and
packaged goods and stuff that's bad for me.
Yeah, I just don't love Quick Check like that.
Don't
give me Wawa.
Okay, do it
in the gas station convenience store world in New Jersey.
But then there's other rewards programs that are giving you just 3 cents off for a gallon of gas.
Okay.
Circle K.
I'd consider it.
They give you 25 cents off per gallon for the first 5 times you go there as a new Circle K loyalty program member.
I mean, that's worth something.
Pay cash, of course. That's Andrea's.
We don't have Circle K's up here.
Yeah, Circle K's got to be in the South or
it
Midwest.
Is, somehow. Definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a pay cash for gas if I can.
Yeah.
Because there is a price differential, number one. Number two, I feel like I'm in more control. Like, before this environment, it's just like.
But how much cash do you carry?
I'm just getting. I don't carry a lot of cash. But if I know I need gas, my nail tech prefers cash. It costs a little less if I pay cash. So if I know I'm filling up, I'm getting my nails done. One of my hairstylists prefers cash. Then I'll get what I need for what I know I'm going to spend. Okay. And sometimes I'll just get $200 and I'm like, $50. Okay. I'm only getting $50 a gas.
Okay.
And then the next time I go, because it's almost like budgeting your gas.
Yeah.
Except when you get it when you need it, but I don't drive a lot anymore.
Yeah. Good. I usually have about 100 to 200 on me, but I mostly tip my money away. I tip so much. Mm-hmm. So that's where most of my cash goes. So it makes me not want to pay for the gas. I'm like, then I got to go get more cash.
No, I'm just usually
a pain in the neck.
Okay. Just getting $50.
Other ideas, junk in the trunk.
Yeah.
Romy Rome said, watch that junk in the trunk. So like if you have extra stuff in your vehicle.
Yeah, slowing say, for you example, down.
Yeah,
dead junk weight. In the trunk. Dead weight.
Yeah, if you were planning to, let's say you gathered up a bunch of donations and you're like, hey, I'm going to take them to Little Box or to the charity, and you just keep procrastinating and you got that stuff in your car, you're burning more gas, G.
This is true.
Or like stuff, like so I think I told the listeners I crashed my car last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to clean out the car. And I'm like, why am I carrying all of this stuff in here? I got it.
Yeah.
I always keep a baseball bat in my trunk. Sure. Just in case, you know.
Something pops off.
But I had like a racquetball, two racquetball rackets.
I never thought of that.
I've always had a baseball bat in my trunk.
Is that a guy thing?
I guess. Huh. Always.
Okay.
They used to call me Crazy Joe. Now they call me Batman. But like I had all this stuff. I had two racquetball sets. I had.
Do you play racquetball?
I haven't played racquetball in like 5 years.
Right.
I had like all kinds of fluids for the vehicle, like
in the car,
windshield wiper fluid, oil. I had coolant. Like that stuff is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I keep a case of water in my trunk at all times.
Summertime too?
All year. Just keep. But it was like more stuff. I had a crate. I had a construction helmet.
Are you a car hoarder, Alan?
My basketball stuff, which I do use a lot. I had exercise mat
for stretching. I'm done. I think the construction hat took me out.
I had, what else? Newspapers, pens.
Of course, newspapers.
It was like mad stuff. And I'm like, I'm embarrassed. I should be ashamed of myself. So clean out the junk in your trunk. Other things. So, you know, we're not big fans of credit cards. You know that.
Correct.
But if you're using them anyway, a lot of times you get more rewards.
Sure.
The more you, like certain cars are good for travel.
Yes. Yep.
And if I now got to start spending more on gas, I might as well put it on the card that gives me the most bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm. And then pay it right away.
Yeah, and pay it right off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will tell you, I started experimenting with an Amex this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I'm
going
to do it.
How's it going?
Horribly. I'm 3 months in. I set it up to pay the statement ending balance every month.
Right.
And it overdrew my account. Like, I ain't have the money.
Wow.
I had to move it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? But like,
you kind of have
to. I overspent because
if you,
of it.
If you're going to use a credit card for spending, like some people do this strategically so that they keep large balances in their bank accounts.
Yeah.
They just do all their spending and then they pay their card
yeah,
in full.
But you need.
I get it. No. Listen to me.
Okay.
I'm not saying do that. That works for some people. Yeah. If I use my credit card with the intention of just paying my spend, I have to do that weekly. Like I can't let it go a whole month. Like I have to do it weekly. Yeah. Just saying.
Okay. Yeah, well.
And it's not my Amex that I'm doing that with.
Yeah. Yeah. So not only did my payment not go through, it then overdrew my account and I just couldn't spend any money.
Right.
Like,
right.
Everything
yeah.
was messed up.
Yeah.
Other things.
Good luck.
Work from home where you can. If
Word.
You can.
Word.
Dre does that a lot.
I'm a frustrated driver now. I went to a breakfast meeting last week and I had to do my old commute and I was like, no, I do not miss this.
Yeah.
Traffic and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not fun. Too many cars on the road.
Yeah,
I have a lot of nerve.
I mean, if you have the option, not everybody has the option.
Not everyone has
the
option.
If you have the option, yeah, work from home some.
Yeah.
Maybe if you can't do it every day, maybe a couple times a week.
Carpool?
Carpool is another one.
Is that on here?
Yeah, of course it is.
I can't wait till our support staff be like, hey, gas is getting up there. Can I work from home today?
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably coming.
It's probably coming.
Don't give them any ideas.
They're not listening.
So we're talking about the war and specifically how to keep it from waging war on your pockets. We'll go to break. We come back. We'll finish off the list of our advice today.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. Ooh, it's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star.
And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
Saving money.
Cash is still good.
There's a war going on outside nobody's safe from.
Yes.
That's Mobb Deep.
I know.
Whatever. Whatever. She's not with me today.
I wasn't. Actually, I didn't with that. I thought I went there with the gospel song. There's a war going on.
Mm.
And I don't even know the rest of the lyrics.
I know there's a storm on the ocean and it's moving this away.
Not this away.
If your soul is not anchored in Jesus. You don't know that song?
Oh, I do know that song.
Surely drift away. I'm sorry about my voice. My voice has been messed up.
You sound like you're under the weather or it's just sleep deprived or both.
I don't know. I have not slept this week, so that's probably it. So we were talking about how to save money. So we went through the vehicle stuff. Public transportation would be the last one on the vehicle list.
Hmm.
Let's talk about inside your home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Electric stove, maybe, if you're planning on changing out your range. Dre's looking at me crazy.
It doesn't cook the same.
Yeah, I don't like it, but
yeah.
I mean, somebody likes it.
Yeah. Because
what's interesting is like oil and gas prices are up.
Mm-hmm.
But electricity is up a lot less. It's up like between 5 and 10%.
I don't know. My utilities bill is crazy. It's up 10% easily.
Yeah, so the electric stove, I know it's not your jam.
No, but I mean, if I had one, but yeah. I'm not replacing it.
One of our clients is getting an apartment renovated in New York City.
I'll use the air fryer and the toaster oven more. How's that?
Okay. There you go. Use that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of cities are really moving more towards electric stoves.
Like really?
It's just harder to get approved for a new gas line nowadays.
Ah, okay.
In certain cities.
Yeah.
Also at your home, consider solar panels as a way of cutting back on your energy bills.
You have solar panels?
I do. This house, my old house. Okay. Sure do. My parents do. You don't?
No. We've considered it, particularly for the backside of the house, but... Yeah. I think we probably are going to...
You're a good candidate because you don't have a lot of trees.
I don't have any trees in the back.
That backside. Solar?
Some of them do, yeah. But I'm thinking we got to replace the roof soon.
Yeah.
So, like, how does that work?
So, when I got my solar panels, I feel like they might have... On my old house, don't quote me, I feel like they might have actually replaced or repaired. They did something major to my roof for free. And they cut down a bunch of trees for free.
Okay.
Back then, there were tax incentives. I don't know if those things exist anymore, but like
there were last year.
Yeah, look into
it. We considered it.
Yeah. A smart thermostat is an idea.
Yep.
You know, program it if you're going to be away from the home during the day.
Yes.
Make it so that it goes down. There's the 68-60 rule. So set your thermostat to 68 when you're awake and 60 while you're sleeping or away from the home. And that could save you 10% on your thermostat.
That's interesting. We actually do have a smart thermostat, but yeah, that's not going to be, that's this conversation is not going to end well.
Yeah. No, I don't like to be cold, so I'm not doing that.
I don't like to be cold. 60's cold.
Yes. I sleep, what do you think y'all sleep at? Like, what temperature?
67.
71 probably in my house.
I do not believe in sleeping over 70.
Yeah.
I could, but... Yeah. No.
I don't like to be cold. So
I don't like to be cold either.
That one's out. Okay, here's another one.
But it's worse being hot.
No, I could do the 68-60 in the, well, maybe not 68. I guess there's got to be another one for the summer.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's not it.
That's not it.
No. Yeah. But yes, you can adjust it so that it's
the opposite.
A different temperature when you're home versus when you're away.
Yeah.
Or awake versus sleeping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Next is lower your water temperature.
Hmm.
This is controversial.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you like hot, like super hot?
Not scalding, but warm.
Yeah.
It's not good for my, it's not good for your skin though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know what this feels like, but according to our research, lowering your water heater to 120 degrees Fahrenheit reduces the standby energy loss and is better for your household budget.
I have no idea what our hot water heater is set to.
It's got a little meter, a little thing, a little twisty thing on it.
I got you. Yeah. I just have no idea where it's set.
I bet you if you change it, somebody's going to complain. Yeah.
I should do it just to see.
Just to mess with them?
Just to see.
Other home ideas, seal up the drafts.
Yes.
Weather stripping.
We do this.
Door snakes.
Yep.
There's invisible leaks. These weather stripping and door snake things don't cost a lot of money, but it could save you 10 to 20% on your energy bill.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. Do you do the door snake? Or do you do the weather stripping?
The weather strip.
Yeah. You do it yourself or hubby does that? Okay.
Hubby does that.
She gave me the funny look. Yeah, so there's also in this tax bill, we didn't talk about this when we went through the OBBBA, the One Big Blankety Blank Bill Act, but there's a tax credit for up to $2,000 annually for adding a high efficiency boiler heat pump for your house or $1,200 for insulation and windows.
If you got to spend it, you might as well.
Yeah. I will say my old crib, I got new windows and it's not cheap. But like,
windows are so expensive.
Yeah. But like, it can really save you a ton of money. Like my old crib, I had the original windows from like 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy came in and he had a radiant lamp and he showed me how much there's no heat refraction off that window. Then he showed me the new one. And I was like, oh, snap. Mm-hmm. He sold me.
Yeah.
So you can save a lot of money by upgrading your windows and insulation. And then finally, Andrea, the financial advisor, not the budget expert, but the financial advisor. Let's think about your portfolios. You met with a client recently and y'all looked at everything. And like, what kind of suggestions would you make to someone who's managing money, managing their investment portfolio in the face of a war?
Listen, if oil prices and gas prices are going to go up and you're going to pay more for it, you may as well invest in it.
Hello.
Maybe your earnings pay for your expenses. I don't know if it's not going to be a dollar to dollar for dollar, but you might as well get in on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Buy the stuff that's going up.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of ways to do
it. It seems counterintuitive, but it's actually
a lot of ways to do it. You can buy, you pick a handful of energy companies, or you can pick an oil or energy company ETF, exchange traded fund.
Yep.
You could buy a mutual fund. You could buy, you know, a bunch of different things. But it's not to say take all your money and dump it into this thing.
It's
a part of a diversified strategy. Like,
yes.
Ask yourself, do I have any explicit exposure to the energy sector, to the utility sector? And if I don't, maybe that's a conversation to have with your advisor. And I think now is a great time to be having that conversation. We talked last week about getting the most out of your financial advisor. And like, this is one of those things.
This is one of those things.
Other ideas for your portfolio. I think like owning bonds is a good idea.
Word.
In general.
Yes.
Like, for all seasons.
Yep.
But in particular, when the economy is at an inflection point, which I think it is right now, where this oil spike could push us into a recession.
It could.
It means that bonds, you know, become a lot more valuable because they give you income, they're stable. And yeah, there might be a little bit of inflation coming, but I think the safety of bonds is what you like in the face of a war.
And just remember, if you're doing that, you do have to give bonds time.
Yeah.
Bonds pay their coupons, most of them, twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to keep them long enough to get your interest income from it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're a long-term investor, holding them makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're seeing the price go down compared to where you paid for it, you got to get the income. So to me, I you got to hold it at least long enough to get the income.
Yeah. Yeah. And a bond. So you all, I'm sure you know this by now from listening to our podcast, but a bond is a loan. A bond is like a CD at a bank that you give your money, you get your money back plus interest.
Yep.
You'll never get rich owning bonds, but you'll seldom get in trouble if you buy some safe, high quality bonds. When I say safe, I mean issued by either companies or governments with a good credit rating.
Yes.
You probably won't get in that much trouble.
Had that conversation today too about quality bonds and lending to people with good credit, or lending to people that don't have the best credit, but they still have a good history of paying their bills on time.
Mm-hmm. Higher.
High yield bonds.
Return, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Other ideas. So what's interesting, like gold is interesting right now. So gold is actually selling off a bunch right now, which is kind of counterintuitive, right? Gold tends to do well in the face of geopolitics, like wars and things like that. But what's happening now.
Conflicts, excursions.
Money is flowing into bonds right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because gold, as great as it is as a store of value, gold doesn't pay any income.
Right.
Right. And so it brings me back to bonds.
Mm-hmm.
The Fed may not cut rates as quickly, which means you'll be able to hold on to that bond income for a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So like all of these things are part of a diversified portfolio, by the way. Like I did a review with a client earlier who's really, really conservative. And she was worried, of course, like a lot of people. And we looked at a couple of things. First thing we looked at was a chart of every war that we've experienced going back to World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And what did the market do?
Okay.
Not just like that year, but like over the course of 10 years. If you haven't, you'll see it in the next market commentary.
I bet.
And like, on average, the market does well after wars.
Yes. I have seen this chart.
There are times like 2002, 2001,
mm-hmm.
when the war led to an oil crisis mm-hmm. that tipped the economy into a recession.
We were baby investors.
Yeah, but I was in the market.
Yeah.
In those times, it's bad for the stock market in the short run.
Mm-hmm.
But on average, I'm not saying war is good, but I'm saying your portfolio will bounce back and recover if you stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to make sure that you're diversified. So for this particular client who's very conservative, she had like 30 to 35% of her money in stocks. And I'm like, look, you've got enough stock to fight inflation
mm-hmm.
and not enough to worry so much about the war.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Everybody needs a mix of stocks and bonds and gold and hedge funds and private investment, whatever is part of your diversified mix.
And look, if you're not careful, even if you have a higher bond allocation or fixed income compared to equities, because for the last couple of years, stocks have done so well, you've more than likely have some portfolio drifting. So rebalancing to get back in line with the appropriate bond allocation makes a lot of sense.
Especially like rebalance your retirement account. That's tax deferred.
Yes.
Or tax free, depending on what type of account you have.
You know what? That might be one of the best pieces of advice you gave. It's one of those things where we tend to set it and forget it.
Yeah.
Right? We're just working. We've got the salary deferrals automatically going into the 401k or 403b or 40 fill in the blank. But we choose the investments when we first start, but we don't typically rebalance.
Yeah. You should.
Most of our listeners, if they listen, they're longtime listeners, know how I feel about target date funds, but rebalancing your retirement accounts makes a lot of sense.
And it literally costs you nothing to rebalance your retirement account.
You're not
paying any taxes. Your 401k is not charging you commissions for trading.
Yep.
And a lot of times, even if you have an IRA, you're managing yourself with an advisor, the commissions are like nothing.
Mm-hmm. Or your wealth managers and fiduciaries like us, and we don't charge commissions.
Hello. So
it's part of what we do.
Yeah. So don't freak out. Don't worry. Don't panic. Again, I had another conversation about buying defense stocks. What's funny, the defense stocks aren't doing great right now, but I had a conversation with a client. I'm like, well, you could buy defense contractors, but you are a part of, the bombing and killing.
Oh, right.
And
I think
again,
I was around for
I'm
that
like
meeting.
Two for two. Like people are like, I don't think I want to be a part of that. But stay invested. Maybe this is a gut check time. You know, the market is only down a little bit. It could get worse.
The market's a great gut checker.
Yeah, so maybe now's the time to just ask yourself, like, can I stomach a 10% drop? And if not, maybe it's time to do some rebalancing,
mm-hmm.
a reassessment.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean go 100% to cash. Like, that will never be our advice.
It never means that.
Yeah. Because you don't know when to get back in, and you don't know how bad it's going to get or if it's going to get bad at all.
That's right.
So you got to just stay with it. You got to be in it to win it as an investor. So that's it. Fighting the war.
Control what you can.
By controlling what you can. If you would like to have us take a look at your portfolio, your financial plan, double check your retirement projections, feel free to visit our website, momentum-advisors.com/contact, and you can schedule time with me or Andrea, and we'd love to talk to you.
Yeah.
No cost, complimentary.
Yep.
On the house.
No obligation, no pressure. But you got 30 minutes.
That's it, bro. Know your numbers. Like, know how much you make. How much you have saved.
We don't need a whole analysis. You don't have to be an actuary, but we need you to be
in the
ballpark on certain things.
Sometimes jokers be on the call like, I'm sure I have a job. Like, bro.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, no, it's not that bad. I'm joking. And your final assignment is to keep listening. And we hope to be back next week. God willing.
We should be.
Yeah.
We will be back next week.
We will, but for the church folks, I say God willing. Like,
I understand. Yeah. Yes, I do understand that.
Yeah. Every time my dad has a birthday, he'd be like, if the Lord sees fit, I'll turn XYZ age on the 3rd.
Aww.
Yeah, so being churchy. That's it. But keep listening. We'll be back next week. God willing.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. Momentum. Momentum.